Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your grace to us through the truths of your word. And we pray that you would open our hearts afresh now by your Spirit. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Do sit down. Now, it was Bill Shankly, the old Liverpool manager, who once said, "Football is not a matter of life and death. It's much more important than that." Now, of course, he was joking, but many in this area seem to believe he was speaking the truth, given the hype and reaction to the Championship playoff final yesterday between Hull City and Sheffield Wednesday. Now, the game was reportedly worth almost £200 million to the winners, given TV money and sponsorship deals associated with being in the top flight of English football, not to mention the kudos of sitting at football's so-called top table with the likes of Manchester United, Liverpool and Arsenal. Now, Hull City's victory means that everyone locally is on a high. But just, if you would, spare a thought for the other side. As a Sheffield Wednesday supporter since childhood, it's been a challenging time for me and my fellow supporters. And losing has left us pretty downhearted. If you saw anything of the news reports, you'll see the signs, players at the end of the game, flat out on the pitch, supporters in tears, shows something of what it means. Now, of course, it is only a game and not a matter of life and death. But the needs of those defeated Sheffield Wednesday fans can illustrate something significant. In difficult times, where what people need is not just pity, where someone feels sorry for you and says, "Never mind, it's not that bad. You can try again." But real help comes from one who can offer empathy. Now, empathy is the encouragement of someone who feels things with you, who steps into your shoes and shares your difficulty. Someone who has been there themselves. Someone who has been through it, experienced the same or similar issue, and has come through. Now, as we turn to the next part of the letter to the Hebrews, we find one who is described in these terms, one who is the ultimate empathizer. Now, Hebrews was written to Hebrew Christians who were facing severe pressure. These people had been brought up as faithful members of the local synagogue and been taught the Old Testament as children. And yet, in recent times, they had come to realize that those Old Testaments had been pointing forward to one who now had come. God had now sent his Messiah into the world, and that Messiah was Jesus of Nazareth. The promises of the Hebrew Scriptures were coming true in him who died and rose again to provide purification for sins. However, the pressure was now on, as others in their community were turning against them because they were believing in Jesus as the Messiah. The heat was being turned up to such an extent that some were no longer meeting with their fellow Christians, and others were on the brink of moving away from Jesus and simply going back to their old beliefs and lifestyle. Well, the writer, who is not named in the letter but was clearly one of the apostolic group, pens his letter to encourage them to hold fast to Jesus. They're to do this because, in a nutshell, Jesus is better than anything or anyone else. He is superior to spiritual beings or any other human being or any idea or philosophy. Well, last week, as we looked at chapter 3, we saw how the writer makes clear that Jesus is far better even than the greatest of spiritual heroes. Verse 5 of chapter 3. Now, Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant, but Christ is faithful over God's house as a son. And the writer also warns these Hebrew believers not to behave like their Old Testament forebears who heard God's word of truth but failed to believe it. Well, as we get to chapter 4 this morning, which is on page 1205, this warning continues. Verse 1. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them, because they were not united by faith with those who listened. And then verse 6, since therefore it remains for some to enter this rest, and those who formerly received the good news fail to enter because of disobedience, again he appoints a certain day called today, saying through David so long afterward, in the words already quoted, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Don't then respond to opposition or challenges by turning away with hard hearts from the very source of what you most need. No, instead, humbly hold to the truth spoken by the voice of God, which speaks of Jesus and what God has done through him. And verse 12, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Don't then react to pressure with lack of belief. Remember that God is the one whose message is powerful and who truly knows everything. Don't turn away from the only one who will be able to bring you through the coming judgment. Well, that brings us to the beautiful and powerful words at the end of chapter 4, which show that as Christians, we don't simply have words of warning to stir us, or even just words of sympathy to comfort us, but we have a unique personal empathizer who is just what we need when life is tough. Verse 14. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Well, these words show some vital things about Jesus. Jesus is our great high priest who is now in heaven. Now, children often ask profound questions of the adults in their lives. And people sometimes collect these sort of sayings and questions together. Let me just give you some examples of ones I found. What is the name of the space between the bits that stick out in a comb? Maybe a good question. In the olden days, was everything black and white? When Jesus walked on water, did he wear a life jacket? Well, a simple but more profound question about the Son of God might be, where is Jesus now? Well, he is not lying in a tomb in Palestine. He is alive. He is risen. So we might ask, is he walking around Nazareth in his sandals? Well, not that either. Our reading tells us, verse 14, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus is now in heaven at God the Father's right hand. And as we were reminded a few weeks ago, Jesus has ascended, is now in heaven with God the Father and ruling with him. Chapter 1 verse 3 expresses it like this. After he made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Jesus has finished his job of rescuing his people, and now he rules. And that job of rescue involved him being the ultimate go-between. Verse 14, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Now we plan to look at what this means more in weeks to come, as it's one of the writer's favourite terms for Jesus in his letter. But Jesus being our great high priest means that Jesus now represents us to God and at the same time represents God to us. Because he is fully human, having lived on earth and now having taken our humanity back to the throne of God, Jesus brings our needs to the Father. And because he is the divine Son of God, who is the exact imprint of God's nature, he can bring God's reality into ours. Jesus, as our great high priest, means that he has, fulfilling what the Old Testament temple ceremonies pointed to, made purification for sins. He's brought forgiveness through his death on the cross, as we remember, as we share bread and wine this morning. Now, if this is the one who is on our side, God, the eternal Son, become the Son of God to bring forgiveness and to advocate our case, we have great grounds for confidence when under pressure. If this is the one who is on our side, the divine go-between who understands our needs, we have great encouragement not to give up or to drift away. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Stand firm under pressure. Keep holding on. Keep being known as Jesus' people. But there's more. Jesus, our high priest, having shared our human weakness, can truly empathize and help. Verse 15, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. You see, Jesus has lived a real life as a real man in the real world. He understands. He has been here, and yet he never failed. So whatever we face, Jesus has already faced it, or something very much like it. So what are we facing? What are our needs? Well, think of your life, and then think of his life as we read of it in the Gospels. Misunderstanding. Opposition, pain, bereavement, temptation, loneliness, misrepresentation, internal struggles, unfair treatment. Jesus is the one who is for us, in us by his Holy Spirit, and who understands us. There was a 1980s Christian song that's not often sung now, which put it like this. Anywhere you walk, he's been there before. Anything you feel, he felt more. Well, this great truth that God in Jesus shares our lives and can truly empathize with us means that we have a great promise there in verse 16. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So whatever our need, whatever our situation, we shouldn't be anxious about approaching God. Because we have Jesus as our great high priest to fit us for God's presence, we can be humbly confident. We don't go in our own goodness, which can never be good enough, but we go through the ministry of the perfect high priest, who has made purification for sins. And as we approach God's throne, we find it to be a place where we can receive mercy. That is, God not treating us as our sins deserve. And more than that, it is a throne of grace, where God's undeserved love is lavished on us, and we can receive help in time of need. So when facing temptations and needs, temptations to move away from the truth of the gospel, let us hold fast our confession. What is your need? Well, Jesus is our great high priest, and he is now ruling in heaven. The way is open to the Father's throne through him. What is your need? Well, Jesus understands. He has been there. He has felt what you feel. He has endured through temptation and pain and struggles, and yet was faithful to his Father without sin. Jesus, our high priest, having shared our human weakness, can truly empathize and help. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the great love that you have shown to us in sending him into this world and therefore sharing our experience. And we pray that you would strengthen us in him. Help us to hold fast our confession of him. And strengthen us with your grace. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.